to say about his trip to World Youth Day. He was talking about how important young people are because they are the future. But then he said, we shouldn't separate out groups of people because we need to be together, young and old. And he said, the future is also the elderly. Now, we can understand how young people are the future, but how is it that the future also includes the elderly? Pope Francis said this, because they are the custodians of the wisdom of life, the history, the home, and the family. He said that yesterday on his plane trip over to Rio de Janeiro. The elderly, you, the residents here, seniors, have wisdom. It's the wisdom that brings you here, that leads you to say, faith is so important. I want to celebrate my faith by participating in this retreat, this time of grace. There is no future without the wisdom of people who have experienced life for some time. Many times the temptation for young people is to be foolish. They think, well, I have forever. As you get older, you realize you don't have forever. And that gives you wisdom because you begin to think about what is most important. Most important is not good looks. It's not having a full head of hair. It's not having hair that is its natural color. It's not having vitality. Those things pass. But what's most important does not pass. And that's faith. God. God is unchanging. And our faith is not in ourselves or in science or technology, but it's in God. When Pope Benedict called for the Year of Faith, I think he did so because when he looked out at the world, he saw a need for real faith. Now, why do I say real faith? Because I think there's a lot of faith in the world, but it's faith in the wrong thing. It's faith in material possessions, where people think, oh, this will make me happy. It's faith in science, thinking science will answer all our questions. It's faith in technology. Oh, if we just work harder, our scientists will be able to even cure every illness and even the aging process and maybe even death itself. There are people who think that through science and technology, we can live forever. True wisdom and true faith tell us we will live forever, but not in this particular body right now. It will be in a resurrected body like the body of Jesus. We are made to live forever. But our faith tells us that's only possible through the resurrection, through what God will do for us. So our world desperately needs faith, true faith. And Pope Benedict, when he wrote his encyclical, God is Love, said faith ultimately is in a person. Here's what he said. Being Christian is not the result of an ethical choice or a lofty idea Faith is what leads us to this encounter. When Pope Benedict called for the year of faith, he called for it through a letter called Porta Fidei, the door of faith. Faith is like a door that we open up, and who do we encounter on the other side of that door but God Himself, who took flesh in Jesus Christ, who sends us His own Spirit. So faith, ultimately, is in the person, Jesus Christ, who reveals to us who God is. And true wisdom, the wisdom that you have, that we share as Catholic Christians, true wisdom is knowing the story of how much God has loved our world and how much God has loved each one of us. I like to call this the true love story. Years ago, there was a book and a movie called The Love Story. Do you remember that? I think it was Ryan O'Neal was one of the actors in there. The world uses that word love for all kinds of things. But what is love? What is true love? After Christmas, the decorations come down from all the stores. And if you go to Walgreens or one of the department stores, what are the decorations that go up right after Christmas? Red, pink, hearts. Everyone gets ready for Valentine's Day. We all know that the heart is a symbol for love, and Valentine's Day has come to be a very secular feast in honor of romantic love. So you have cards and boxes and candy, all with the heart. And I'm sure you've seen t-shirts and bumper stickers with the heart symbol, declaring people's love for certain things. Do you have one for Scranton, Pennsylvania? You know, I know a little further east there's I, heart, and then NYC, New York City. Or maybe a Big Apple. I love the Big Apple. I've seen bumper stickers that go, I, heart, and that's followed by the picture of a schnauzer dog. I love my schnauzer dog. I have to tell you, my favorite bumper sticker goes, I, heart, and that's followed by the state of Wisconsin. The outline of the state of Wisconsin, which is followed by, can you guess what? A picture of cheese. I love Wisconsin cheese. Now let's be honest. Is that love? You know, if you think about it, it's really the opposite of love. Because what that bumper sticker is saying is, when I eat Wisconsin cheese, I feel good. Wisconsin cheese gives me pleasure. It's all about me. And whatever makes me feel good, I love. And when the feeling is gone, we say, I don't love that anymore. I don't love that person anymore. That's not love. Jesus reveals to us true love and shows us that it's not about getting, it's not about grabbing and having, but it's all about giving. Pope Benedict, in his encyclical God is Love, said that our definition for love must begin in one place. And that place, he said, he pointed, was the pierced side of Jesus Christ on the cross. He said, that's where our definition for love must begin. That opening to a heart that shows us true love, real love, the greatest love the world has ever known. St. Paul said that love shows itself when someone is willing to die for another. And he says that what proves God's love for us is that while we were still sinners, while humanity was rebelling against God, Jesus came and laid down his life for us and died for us. And that's true love. St. John, in his first letter, says, God is love. And if we think about that, it tells us that God, in his very nature, is love. And that's the great mystery of the Trinity. You know, we believe not in three gods, but one God who is three persons. Not three parts, but one God, three persons. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God, in his very nature, is a communion of persons. Love itself. And it's the nature of love to want to share. If you love, you want to share goodness, the things you have, with other people. God is life, and God wanted to share life with creatures. So God created this whole vast, beautiful world and created human beings in his own image and likeness who could recognize God's love and in turn respond with love. God created human beings in order to love. And love is not just a one-way street. Love means response too. So God created human beings to love so that they would return love and find happiness. We're happiest when we love because we're made in God's image and likeness. We're made by love. We're made for love. We're made for love, union with God. And we're made for the communion of saints when we will all be together in heaven and there won't be any enemies. Here's how Pope John Paul talked about the creation of every human being. He said this, each person is unique, precious, and unrepeatable. Unique, precious, and unrepeatable. Think about that for a moment. When I was growing up, we had an expression when we met someone who was a real character, who was very different from everyone else. Maybe you had the same expression. We would say, they threw away the mold when they made him. Well, that's really true for every human being who walks the face of the earth today, who has ever lived. Every human being is unique and unrepeatable. There never was another you. There never will be another you. Even if you look like someone else, that person that looks like you is not you. You are unique and unrepeatable, and therefore precious to God. It's as though God created you because you give God a love, a pleasure that no other human being can give God because you are unique. You give God a pleasure that no other human being can give God. And that makes you precious to God. Here's how Pope Benedict talked about this. And this was right after he was elected Pope. He said, each of us is the result of a thought of God. Now, think about that for a moment. When did God think of you? Each of us is the result of a thought of God. When did God think of you? Was it 9 months before you were born? Was it a year before you were born? You know, in In my own family, I was the youngest of three, and I had two older sisters, 10 years older and 8 years older, 12 years older and 10 years older. They were quite a bit older. Does that mean that back in 1951, God looked at Frank and Florence Kubicki, my parents, and said, you know, they really want to have a son. I'm going to give them one. And God thought of me. Is that when God thought of me? No. God is eternal. And the thoughts of God are eternal. So, in other words, God had you in mind from the beginning. From even before the creation of the world, God had you in mind and planned on your creation. That's why we can say nobody is a mistake or an accident, no matter what the circumstances of their conception. I recently celebrated the wedding for some people that I know. I know them through my step family. And they were two people who were single and became pregnant and decided to marry and raise the child together. And some people might say, oh, that child was an accident, a mistake. They didn't plan on having that baby. Well, even if they didn't plan, God planned. Because it takes more than a man and a woman to create a new human life. We believe that God was present, instilling, giving an immortal soul to this new life that was forming within the mother's womb. So God had you in mind. You're not an accident. You're not a mistake. All of us, God willed. So Pope Benedict goes on, each of us is the result of a thought of God. Each of us is willed. God wanted you to exist. God wants union with you forever in heaven. The prophet Jeremiah, this is the book of Jeremiah, the very first chapter says, speaking for God, God speaks through the prophet and says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. So God had us in mind from all eternity. Then Pope Benedict goes on and says, each of us is loved. Now, let's think about that a little bit. Because our own experience of love is very limited. And we tend to think of God that way. But God loves each of us with an infinite love. And you can't chop up infinity into pieces. I don't care how good a mother is, if she's in the kitchen and she hears her daughter asked a question from the tables, you know, something like, Mom, what color is Goldilocks' hair? The daughter's coloring. But before she answers the question, she hears her son outside crash his bike and start screaming. Who is the mother going to go attend to? The one who needs her help, who's in trouble. She has to divide her attention. And we tend to think of God that way. People will say, well, God must be too busy to hear my prayers. God doesn't care. God's got so many other more important people and problems. No. God loves each of us as though we were the only person with an infinite love. And St. Francis de Sales and St. Basil the Great had a beautiful image to help us appreciate this better. They said, think about the sun and how it shines on the flowers of a garden. The sun shines over here, and the sun shines over there, and over here, And when the sun shines here, does that mean there's less sun over here or over there? No, the sun shines with equal intensity on all the flowers in the garden. Now, if that's true for the sun, which is a creature, how much more true is it for God, who loves each of the flowers in his garden, each one of us, with an infinite love, as though we were the only ones in his garden? And then Pope Benedict says this: each of us is necessary. Each of us is the result of the thought of God, willed by God, loved by God, and necessary to God. We are all part of God's plan. Now, one of the things I encounter very often on retreats and parish missions are people who feel, why am I still here? What good am I doing? And our world and our society say to people, well, look, you're retired, your kids are grown up, they live far away from you. You don't have any part to play in things anymore. Pope Francis, on the way over to Rio de Janeiro, talked about this as a big problem in our world, that people are thought to be disposable or unnecessary or taking up space. Pope Benedict and Pope Francis say, no, every person is necessary to God and God's plan. And every moment of our lives is precious. On Thursday, we'll be speaking more about that, how every moment of our lives can be precious to God. And I can't help thinking of something that Jean Vanier said. He's a Frenchman who started a little movement called L'Arche, the Ark. It's where people with developmental disabilities and other people live together in community. And in 2002, he was being interviewed about Pope John Paul. At this point in Pope John Paul's life, he had begun to walk with very great difficulty using a cane. And the effects of Parkinson's had begun to affect his speech. He had begun to drool, and many people thought, that's embarrassing. Jean Vanier said, he's never been more beautiful. Now, in the eyes of the world, this is not beauty, but in God's eyes, it's beautiful. Jean Vanier said, he's never been more beautiful, and he's teaching the world an incredible lesson. That life is precious, and every moment of life is precious. And that when we come to those moments in our life when we feel weaker, when we can't do what we want to do, when in the eyes of the world we're not successful anymore, we're teaching the world that what's most important is faith, our faith in God. And that even when we can't move around much, we can pray. Our hearts can move with prayer. And our prayers and our sufferings are very important. And that's the lesson that Pope John Paul was teaching the church through his own sufferings in those last years of his life. So each of us is necessary to God's plan. Here's how Pope Francis put it. For God, we are not numbers. We are important. Indeed, we are the most important thing to God. We are what is closest to his heart, to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Jesus died. His heart was pierced on the cross. And he rose from the dead with a heart that has never stopped beating with love for us. And from time to time, Jesus has appeared. He appeared to Saint Juliana, asking for a feast in honor of his body and blood, Corpus Christi. He appeared to Saint Margaret Mary, showing his heart on fire with love and asking for a feast in honor of his Sacred Heart. And he appeared to Saint Faustina, asking for another feast, a feast in honor of his mercy. Jesus continues to reach out to us, and he reaches out to us every day through his presence in the Holy Eucharist. Pope John Paul said that the tabernacle should be like a magnetic pole that attracts an ever greater number of souls in love with him, who come to spend time with him, who come to sense, as Pope John Paul said, the beating of his heart. We believe Jesus is present in the Blessed Sacrament, and his heart continues to beat with love for us there. And so as we bring him forth into the monstrance and make our act of faith that he is truly present, let us make an act of faith that his heart is present there too, beating with love for us, his Sacred Heart. At the end of our retreat on Thursday, we will enthrone a picture of the Sacred Heart to remind us that Jesus is the King and center of this community, this residence, each one of our hearts. I want to close with a few words from Pope Benedict. He wrote this for Lent of the year 2007. He was reflecting on Jesus dying on the cross, and those words of Jesus, "I thirst." What was Jesus thirsting for from the cross? Certainly he was physically thirsty. But traditionally, the church and the saints and Pope Benedict with them say that he was thirsting for something else as well, our love. And so as we bring Jesus forward, we tell him we love him. And this is Pope Benedict now. "On the cross, it is God himself who begs the love of his creature. He is thirsty for the love of every one of us. The response the Lord ardently desires of us is above all that we welcome his love and allow ourselves to be drawn to him." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I will...